The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski with Father Neil Walters. And Father, first of all, welcome to AM 1260 The Rock and God Calling.
Thank you, Paul. Nice to be here.
You're a son of St. Luke's.
Yes.
Lakewood, Ohio.
Yes.
Tell me about growing up and your religious life. Parents mass every day or every week?
Every day. Okay. My father used to go to 6:30 mass every morning. My mother would hit 5:30 mass in the evening. And I remember before 6:30 mass, the priest would come out and distribute communion for those who had to leave early for work.
To go to work, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I used to serve those masses along with my brother. Went to St. Luke's grade school. And Sundays, the whole neighborhood would pilgrimage to church and back. We had, I think, four priests there.
Oh, yeah.
Father Wyatt Trowski was there as chancellor, but he would live there and took masses. And one of my early inspirations was Father John Muller, who was my first pastor after I was ordained in Worcester. He was there for my first communion.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a journey he witnessed, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where'd you go to high school?
Went to Holy Name on Harvard and Broadway, the old Holy Name.
Where did the calling, was it a whisper? Was it a?
We have a family business in Slavic Village, a metal shop, metal stampings. Mm-hmm. And I was planning to do that. I was studying business at John Carroll. My junior year, my mother died. I think it was around that time I got thinking about the priesthood, maybe a different direction in my life.
Mm-hmm. Didn't want to push numbers around and coils of steel or
right.
Like that.
Yeah. I worked there a few summers and got my hands dirty, and that was enough of that.
I suspect it was hard work.
It was. My family has run a beautiful business for over 100 years. Wow. It's in the going into the fourth generation, and I look up to my grandfather, my father, my brothers for the work they did and how they treated their employees. That, too, was a holy work. It really was.
So did you finish at John Carroll and then go to the seminary?
I did. Or? I finished at Carroll, and then I joined the Redemptorist congregation for 3 years. I met a Redemptorist when I was at Holy Name, and he was pretty much retired. He would travel up to see one of the priests at Holy Name, and we got to be tennis buddies.
Oh, okay.
We'd play tennis together and lifelong friends. I was actually the one who put him in the nursing home. We were on the tennis court, and he went over and cracked his femur, and never got up to play tennis again.
Oh, dear.
But up until that point, he usually beat me.
No kidding.
It wasn't until he had spinal meningitis. Then I started to have an edge on him.
Okay. Well, what's the charism of the Redemptorist Order? I've never
Redemptorists
heard of that.
Redemptorists are mostly a preaching group. They did parish missions. Part of their mission statement, though, was to minister to the poorest of the poor. And I never forgot that. And it was a great time in the seminary. Guys from all over the country, a lot of diverse ministries that we were getting into.
I've read some information, articles that have been written about you and things like that, and that phrase keeps coming up, serving the poorest of the poor.
Hmm.
Would you call that the credo of your ministry over the years?
I think so. I really feel growing up, I was exceedingly blessed with my parents, with our family, with the neighborhood, with the people I knew, with the finances that my family was able to back me with. Really, it's calling to give back right from the beginning.
And where better to give back than to the poorest of the poor?
Right, exactly.
That's taken on a couple of different forms in your parish work. You're down in Worcester.
Yes.
Which is, I think you described it as an oasis in the middle of someplace. But it's a nice town.
Absolutely.
But then you've gone to other parishes and places, St. Malachi's and others, were very poor and needed outreach programs, mm-hmm. lots of them too.
Sure.
Was that work particularly satisfying to you?
Yeah, I think so. I guess if I go through my my chronology, I started at Malachy's, going there in my college days with my mother, and
the meal program,
right? And we always went to the 4:30 mass. It was known as the Blue Lightning Special, always over by 5 o'clock. Paul Ritz was brilliant. He got you in at 4:30, out by 5. Good homily. He proved that it doesn't have to go on forever to make a difference. Got involved in ministries down there with some wonderful people. Certainly my time with the Redemptorists was a lot of interesting ministries. In my parish work, Worcester, I started a ministry to the nursing homes where we would go and play music once a month in 5 or 6 different nursing homes. It was a wonderful ministry. When I got to Akron, somebody pointed out that I was always present in the hospitals. One of my parishioners said, you know, when we had 3 priests here, I never saw one of our priests in the hospital. Now that we're down to 2, how come you're here? and that was really struck me as an important ministry. And then it was my third assignment that I got involved at the jail in 2000 as a volunteer, and that continued for 21 years.
You have to meet people where they are, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The jail ministry is something that went on for quite some time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to talk about, certainly, with that. But it kind of ended almost abruptly. What drew you down there to begin with when it first started?
Well, I had been assigned to the jail as a seminarian, so I was familiar with it and just felt I had enough time to volunteer one day a week. And that turned into 2 days, 3 days, an assignment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it continued for all those years.
Yes, yes.
The sister, Rita Harwood, mm-hmm. is a common friend of ours, and she began that in 1996. Mm-hmm. was officially the jail ministry. I'd like to talk more about that with you and the changes and the need down there and some of your experiences with the people who are locked up for goodness knows how long and have really very few people to reach out to them from what I'm reading mm-hmm. about various articles.
Yes.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Father Neil Walters with us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll stay tuned. Father Neil Walters with us. Father, I've read some articles about you, and you're described as kind of a free spirit. Maybe you're coming down the aisle, your head rocking back and forth to the music. You're a blues music guy, I understand. How do you incorporate that into ministry? And that, I would guess maybe that's real helpful down at the jail where you have ministered to folks for 21 years or did.
Well, I guess you sum it up by just saying you have to be real. You know, I think that applies to ministry. We're called to be ourselves, whatever we bring to the table. You know, it's funny. My last funeral at St. Malachy's was a wonderful bar owner, Uncle Mike Carney, mm-hmm. and so we were doing shots before we walked into the church, and the church was standing room only, and it was just a very diverse crowd, and my point there was. You know, I shared that, you know, one of Mike's great gifts was he was comfortable in his own skin. And that gave other people comfortable to be in their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly an important quality in a bar. I think it's also important in a church and in our faith and in life.
Well, you're described as in one article as a part charismatic Southern Baptist preacher and part comedian.
Okay.
You've had a lot written about you. But your jail ministry began and grew, and I think you really discovered a need, the poorest of the poor, that you'd bring them envelopes with stamps on them so they could write home or get them a bus ride or a bus ticket on the way.
Mm-hmm.
How did that grow, and how were you received in the beginning, at least, by the administration?
Oh, welcomed with open arms, no doubt. We had a wonderful director, Director Ken Kosovar. There were times, I remember one corrections officer asking me to go anoint one of the other wardens because he had a cancer problem going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, go to the warden's complex. And it was a ministry where, you know, we were involved not just with inmates, but with corrections officers, with administration, whatever. And that really, you know, to sum up the ministry we had down there, you know, Matthew 25, I was hungry, I was thirsty. At the end it says, whatsoever you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that really was our mission statement. If there was a need, we took care of it as best we could. And I worked for 13 years with a wonderful deacon, Deacon Martin Thiel. His whole heart and soul was in the jail. We clicked very well and worked well together. Worked with many other wonderful volunteers that really had their hearts in mm-hmm. that ministry. It wasn't just putting in a couple hours.
You talk about having to be real, having to be yourself. Mm-hmm. That's a, what's the word, streetwise bunch that you're dealing with down there.
Sure.
I suspect they'd be able to see through somebody was going through the motions in a heartbeat.
So you're better off just being honest about what you're about, uh-huh. you know?
Yeah, right. These are streetwise people for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over time, some of the support that you got from the county, there are COVID and a lot of reasons, and mm-hmm. overcrowding yeah. and some other things, kind of faded. And read some stories from folks. They're very concerned that some of these really necessities of life are not being provided by the county.
Sure, yeah.
What's the answer?
Well, they may get back in there. I don't think it'll be the same as it was. Nothing's the same as it was. Mm-hmm. I think the answer is turning the clock back to a simpler time when there was I don't fault the county at all. There was a concern about contraband in the jail. There was a concern about employees having to be tracked and watched, et cetera. And that goes on, in the county and in probably every business and in every church. There's, these are issues. But what we lose there is like a trust in the people that really want to do some good.
Do you ever have the feeling when you're talking to somebody, if you have a mass, let's say, if 8-10 people show up, are some just, boy, I can get out of myself for half an hour. Do you get some of that or are they truly remorseful and looking for some uplifting?
Oh, at the jail?
Yes.
Oh, we had some wonderful times there. People were looking for spiritual nourishment. You would be surprised how much we take for granted in our religious education that they might have no idea, no clue. I had a guy one day, I always love this story. One of the things we could do at the jail was have weddings. If an inmate wanted to marry somebody on the outside, maybe they had been together for a long time, maybe the guy was going to prison, it'll be easier for the spouse to visit as a spouse rather uh-huh. than as just a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. So we could do that. And I'm talking to a guy one day. He's asking me about getting married. I tell him, and I'm in my Roman collar, et cetera. And he said, so you ever been married? I said, well, no, I'm a Catholic priest. We don't get married. Oh, so you got girlfriends, huh? I said, well, no. I got friends who are girls, et cetera, I try to explain that to him. He said, man, how long you been doing this? I said, well, I've been ordained at that time. It's about 25 years. He says, you've gone without for 25 years? I said, well, we don't believe in premarital sex either, so really it's been about my whole life. And he looked at me like I had three heads. And then I get talking to him about, well, relationships take a lot of work and involvement and, sure. and kids and dedication. And pretty soon he's looking at me like, for a crazy man, you're starting to make some sense. but nobody ever shared this,
Yeah.
We take too much for granted. We need to sometimes express the more basic truths of our faith and of life.
I think maybe everybody knows.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody grew up like I did. I had one guy who said, you only know what you know. Yeah. And if you grow up and you're taught, lying and cheating is good, then you believe lying and cheating is good until somebody teaches you it's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you sense a lot of remorse down there that some people I know you've visited several times and they come back and back?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Forth.
Yeah.
Are they trying or is it?
They are trying. I do believe a lot of them are trying. But it is just so hard to change. And take the addicts. They always say, well, change people, places, and things. Okay, if you got $1 million, you can change people, places, and things very easily. But if you're desperate and you don't have any other resources and you don't have other alternatives, you need a lot of help to get out of the hole you're in, mm-hmm. and the lifestyle you're in. That's something I firmly believe, and I really did work with some people a great deal to try to help them. It wasn't just 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
It was getting involved.
And part of that is spiritual help to
sure
make mm-hmm. that make better decisions if possible. Of course, with drugs, that's a whole other animal.
Right, right.
Father Neil Walters is our guest. We'll come back right after these messages on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We hope you'll stay tuned. Father Neil Walters joining us on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is Paul Orlowski. Father, many years at the jail and dealing with people who not in a good spot mm-hmm. in their lives. But at the same point in time, in watching you tell stories and hear your voice, you got a lot of joy out of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Helping people.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah.
How tough to leave?
Oh, it was heart-wrenching. Yeah, it was. And sort of felt, you know, after all the years I put in, there might have been, a little more sense of, you know, we need you here. But like I said, I think just so many things have changed. It's I almost feel like I don't fit into this, you know, this culture, if you will.
My wife has the same, but I don't understand this world anymore. I don't belong in this world anymore.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's a lot of things happening that, boy, I never saw that coming.
Oh, yeah.
I probably
yeah.
should have, but I didn't, obviously. Uh-huh. You never give up on people, and the jail mm-hmm. ministry is perfect for you. It would take a very special person to do that ministry, much as you did. Not to get political, but probably the county should be doing a little more, mm-hmm. but that's mm-hmm. not a political show. Mm-hmm. But you say it's not about looking for success, because there's a lot of failure down there, I
sure.
suppose.
Dorothy Day, you know, foundress of the Catholic worker movement, said, mm-hmm. we have to get used to apparent failure.
Okay.
So it may appear to be failure at times, but maybe it's not. So
you got to keep trying.
Planting seeds, you don't know what's going to happen. Be faithful.
You've said you never give up on people. Do they sense that? Like, boy, this guy really cares about me.
I would
again, they're streetwise people down there.
I think so. I hope so. And I think we had a pretty good reputation down there of consistency with people. I had one guy. I've known him for 20 years. That's most of my time at the jail. And he was in and out, back and forth. And he was a knucklehead. And I told him that. But I never gave up on him. And that goes for a number of people. So we stood the test of time.
You've had parish work before. Now you're back, and I probably should have said this at the beginning, at St. Francis Cabrini Parish, as well as St. Vincent de Paul in Lorain County. In relating to, you know, this streetwise tough bunch, now you've got to relate to parishioners.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've always been at a parish as well, but is that an adjustment for you?
Oh, it is. Yes, yes, because parishioners can be a lot rougher than the inmates.
Really? No kidding.
Well, you know, I say that, you know, in jest, but our expectations – you know, we can have life so good that we can always find something to complain about. And yet at the jail, the smallest work of charity, you know, we made Christmas wonderful for people by giving them two stamped Christmas envelopes, you know, with Christmas cards and a candy bar from Allie's. And that made Christmas. Now, I don't know what you expect for Christmas, but I think you might be disappointed if that's what you got. I said once I made somebody's Christmas beautiful. I found the perfect gift. It was a pair of shower slippers. Now, uh-huh. The guy's on death row, and I got him shower slippers. So that makes a big difference that you don't have to walk on those filthy,
icy cold,
awful,
filthy.
Oh, you know. So yeah, the smallest things are appreciated.
The you know. As opposed to at the back door of the church. A little long on the homily today, Father.
Right, right. Oh, we had Mass once at the jail. I think it went for 2 hours. We had some music, and it just had a great time. And when we were all done, I turned to the guy that was playing guitar. His name was Steve. I can't remember his last name. But anyway, I turned to him. I said, don't try this in your parish at home. Everybody left happy, but that may not happen, you know.
In the parish,
in your home,
at home
parish, yeah.
How important is music in your ministry? From descriptions, you immerse yourself in the celebration of the Eucharist.
Oh yeah, and I do appreciate music. Unfortunately, at the jail, there was very limited opportunities. And I play a little bit of guitar, and I used to do some of that when we were doing a communion service. Somebody else was leading, or I try to work it in. But it just got kind of overwhelming to try to do all of it, mm-hmm. you know, all at
sure.
once.
How tough to have two parishes? Because they have, I'm sure, probably different personalities. Most parishes do.
It's so overwhelming that I don't even take it seriously. Well, you know, you could drive yourself nuts trying to micromanage. And I've said this to the staffs. So I said, I can't micromanage two places. I'd be lucky to micromanage one place. So in my approach, there's a lot of trust in our staff and that things will run along smoothly. And we've seen that in many parishes when, you know, a pastor is taken out because he's sick or something, and the place still seems to function mm-hmm. even without him. So, mm-hmm.
How far different are the mileage-wise?
Just about a mile, not far.
Oh, that's
yeah. Cool. No, they're close, so that's nice.
No, ethnic parishes, different ethnic backgrounds.
A lot of Eastern European and then Hispanic.
You speak Spanish?
Muy poquito, y muy malo.
Yeah. Okay.
I used to try to do Spanish mass at the jail. I would just read the words.
Yeah.
I've studied a little bit, but not enough to get by.
Yeah. At the very beginning, you're talking about kind of your mission, your motto, credo, whatever you want to call it, is poorest of the poor, reaching the poorest of the poor. And certainly the jail ministry was about that. I don't know the dynamics of your current, but you've made a career out of it. And it sure sounds like you've gotten a lot of joy out of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even in the parishes, you know, I think I mentioned to Sister Rita the other day, I said, it's hard to remember the priorities in this business. You know, you talk about, you got to run two parishes, probably administration, blah, blah, blah. Well, when someone has a death, that's when it's important, or when there's a struggle, or you know, and to be able to respond, again, to the poorest of the poor, wherever we meet them, because they're all around us.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone might have okay wealth, but they're broken when somebody close to them dies. They're poor.
Absolutely.
In faith or hope, whatever that may be, and you've answered it. So, Father, thank you very much. Father Neil Walters, our guest on God Calling. We're here every week, Sunday afternoon at 4:30. We hope you'll join us every week. This is Paul Orlowski. You're listening to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.